Our reading today comes from 2 Kings chapter 22. It can be found on page 393 of your church Bibles, which are the ones on the tables. I'll be reading from 22:1 to 23:3, and then carrying on in chapter 23, 21 to 25. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, and make him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Make them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple, and make these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also make them purchase timber and dress stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are honest in their dealings." Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, "Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah, the priest, Akiam, son of Shaphan, Akbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the secretary, Asaiah, the king's attendant, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of the book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." Hilkiah the priest, Akam, Akbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to speak to the prophet Hildah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikvah, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book of the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burn incense to other gods, and arouse my anger by all the idols their hands have made. My anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire to the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather to you your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place." So they took her answer back to the king. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. And now continuing at verse 21. The king gave this order to all the people: "Celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. Neither in the days of the judges who led Israel, nor the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, has any such Passover been observed. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was celebrated to the Lord in Jerusalem. Furthermore, Josiah got rid of the mediums and spiritists, the household gods, the idols, and all the other detestable things seen in Judah and Jerusalem. This he did to fulfill the requirements of the law written in the book of Hilkiah, the priest had discovered in the temple of the Lord. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him, who turned on the Lord as he did, with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Harry. Not going to be repeating all those names that he's managed to do. Well done. There were some hard ones, weren't there? Let's pray before we look at God's word. Heavenly Father, living God, almighty God, we thank you for your words. Thank you for the Bible. Amen. So, Josiah was 8 when he became king. And I thought, well, what exciting thing happened to me when I was 8? Difficult to remember that far back. But I do remember something exciting that happened when I was 7, 1966, World Cup final, England against what was called West Germany at the time. And you may remember, if you remember the match, it was a minute or so to go. England were leading 2-1, and West Germany equalised. The referee blew the whistle for the end of 90 minutes. We were watching it on telly. My dad had come home from work to watch it with us. And when they scored the equaliser and the whistle went for the 90 minutes, my dad was distraught. His head was in his hands and he was almost crying. And he was distraught because he thought West Germany would go on to win. He was distraught because he was going to miss extra time because he had to go back to work. And he was distraught because I had just said, wouldn't it be a really exciting game if West Germany equalised? He was distressed. He was distraught. Just 2 or 3 weeks back, Ailish, my wife, lost her favourite bobble hat. And she was distressed. And when she's distressed, the whole house is distressed. And, you know, she just was so worried about, where is that bobble hat? And she spent lots of time worrying about where it was and then spent as much time trying to get a like-for-like replacement. She was distressed. And then just last week, Jacob had been saving up his money, my son Jacob had been saving up his money to buy some of these strategy battle cards. And we ordered them on Amazon Prime, another sermon there from a few weeks back, go and listen to that. We ordered them from Amazon Prime, they were meant to come the next day, done his homework, he'd set some time aside, and they didn't turn up. And he was distraught. And there were some tears. Weren't there? Okay. All good reasons to despair. Losing things, expectations not being met, and sport. But how often does reading the Bible lead us to weeping and distress as we realise how far short we fall of God's standards? How often is it that our response to God's word is a renewed and total commitment to him with all our heart, with all our strength, and with all our mind? Well, that's the effect that the hearing of God's word had on King Josiah of Judah. Grief, trembling at God's word, tears, distress. When the book of the law, sometimes called the book of the covenant, probably Deuteronomy, maybe the whole first 5 books of the Bible, was rediscovered and read to him. We're going to come back to look at some of the things that we can pick out, 6 points later I'm going to pick out that we might take away as we go into our weeks ahead. But let's have a look at the story first, because the Old Testament narrative is just so brilliant, isn't it? So we start with Josiah coming to the throne at 8 years old, and there's been 57 years of what the Bible describes as kings ruling as evil in the eyes. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And basically, they did everything you could think of, and idols, they were worshipping anything and anything anywhere apart from God. And the writer of Kings tells us straight away that Josiah is a good guy. He sort of summarises his life for us in verse 2 when they say he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, that's his ancestral father King David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. A biblical way of saying follow God's ways completely. And then as we go into verse 3, it tells us that it was in the 18th year of his reign, when Josiah is 26 now, that he sent his officials off to the temple to oversee and check up on some repairs at the temple. But it's worth just pausing and looking at the parallel passage in Chronicles. It's always good to read Kings and Chronicles together. Let me just read you something from 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 3. It's on 4, 6, 7 if you want to whiz there quickly. It says, in the 8th year of his reign, so that's when he's 16, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. So at 16 years old, he's searching God, searching out for God. And in the 12th year of his reign, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, and idols. So it tells us there in Chronicles that his relationship with God had been developing from an early age. And when we get to the point in our part in Kings, when he's going to check on the temple, he's already done a load of reforms. He's already been purging Judah and Israel, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, actually, the sort of getting rid of all the idols, spend a lot of time on that. So when we get to our point, when he goes to the temple, sends people to the temple, he's already done. He's been following God and he's already done a lot of work. And he's basically been removing anything of places of worship where they shouldn't be worshipping, anywhere else other than the temple in Jerusalem. And he's been removing all the idols of Baal and Asherah and other gods, and all the paraphernalia around that. Even having to remove paraphernalia of gods in the temple itself. I was thinking about how bad that would be. Would it be something like here, having some sort of obelisk here in our church, which points us all to go and go online to some pornographic web forum or something like that? That's how bad it had become, and that's what he was trying to purge. So verse 3, chapter 22, he's been purging, as I say, and reforming, and he sends his secretary Shaphan to the temple to ensure the repairs are happening. And then in verse 8, Hilkiah, the high priest, tells the secretary, I found the book of the law. Shaphan reads it. Shaphan goes back to Josiah, the king, and he reads it to Josiah. And then in verse 11, when Josiah hears it, he tears his robes in grief, in despair. Why? He's been walking in the way of the Lord, hasn't he? We just found that out from Chronicles. But he's just realised how bad it has got in his country and how bad his position is in relation to what God has asked. And he is clear how bad it is, because if we look in verse 13, he says, great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. And what he would have been hearing, some of the things he would have been read out to him from Deuteronomy, would have been Deuteronomy 6 verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, your strength. And verses later on, 14 and 15 of the same chapter, do not follow other gods, for the Lord your God is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will wipe you out and destroy you from the face of the land. This is being read to Josiah. And then, personal to him, Deuteronomy 17, for the kings who sit in Judah, it says, when you take the throne of the kingdom, he is the king, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law. It's to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the laws. No wonder Josiah was distraught. But did you notice there wasn't much indication of the extent of response from Shaphan the secretary or Hilkiah the high priest? I wonder why that was. Because they had gone so far away from God? In verse 10, when Shaphan the secretary comes back, he says to the king, well, you know, all the building repairs are going on fine and we're paying everybody and everything's fine. And then almost as a throwaway line in verse 10, he says, if I can find it. Verse 10, middle of verse 10. Oh yeah, and he informed the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. He's given me a book. And I thought, you know, it's a bit like finding an old football program or a lost bobble hat in the attic. I found a book. Hilkiah the high priest, he does refer it to as to the book of the law. But perhaps he just saw it as interesting history. Oh, it's those lovely old words from Moses. I don't know. There's no feeling that they really care as Josiah does. But for Josiah, it was the living word. It was the word of the living God speaking to him personally. Like today, this is the word of the living God speaking to us personally. And so he thinks, this is bad, I need to find out what God is saying today. So he sends them off to the prophet to get the prophet to speak God's word into the context of that day. And the prophet Huldah, who my spell check kept coming up as Hilda, was really frustrating. And I tried not to say Hilda, but I thought I'd get it out of my system now so I don't say it again. But the prophet Huldah, they go and see her. And the news from her is even worse. It's disastrous. Verse 16. She says to them, take this back to the king. This is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people according to everything written in the book the king has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and they've aroused my anger by all their idols. My anger will burn against this place and it will not be quenched. There's no chance for Judah. It's the end. God is not going to change his mind. It's really bad. And just sure enough, in just like 30, 40 years, Babylon came, Judah was no more, and people were exiled. But because God is so gracious, because God is so merciful, there is some good news for Josiah. And that means a delay on the judgment, even for his people. Verse 18 and 19. Huldah says to them, go back and tell the king this. Because your heart was responsive and humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard this, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord, and goes on to say that, you know, you will die in peace. You won't see the destruction of your country. So the officials, they relay all this back to Josiah. And his response, his reaction, is he goes full out for God. He restores the temple. He gets rid of all the idols. You can read a lot more about the idol purging in verses 4 to 20. It's sort of like a block passage which covers his life. He restores the covenant between the people and God. And they celebrate the Passover, the celebration of the rescue by God's people out of captivity in Egypt. They celebrate that for the first time in the right place, in the right time, in the right way as God had laid down. The first time ever since there'd been a king. It says in verse 22, neither in the days of the judges who led Israel, nor in the days of kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, had any such Passover been observed. But under Josiah it was. Chronicles said it hadn't been celebrated properly since Samuel. What a king Josiah was. He was the best king. He was better than Solomon. He was better than his great-granddad Hezekiah, better even than David. Chapter 23, verse 25 says, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his strength. What a godly example, and what a challenge to us today. Do you want to be like Josiah? Because I do. I want a heart that is responsive, that is soft for the Lord. I want to follow God with all my heart, with all my strength, with all of my soul. So I've picked out 6 points for the rest of this sermon to help us think about that as we go into tomorrow, so that we can live for God with soft hearts and fully for him. And the first point is God's grace. God's grace, always a great place to start. Why did Josiah seek God when he was young? He had no scripture to read. Because of the evil legacy of his dad and his great-grandfather, the people completely lost track of connection with God. And yet he had a tender, soft heart for the Lord from a young age. Now, we're not told specifically, and I know we have to be careful when we look at God's word about speculating, but I don't think I'm treating God's word unfaithfully when I think aloud. Maybe his mum, who is mentioned, you know, guided him. Maybe Huldah or Jeremiah, who was around at the time, maybe they mentored him a bit. Maybe someone told him stories about his great-granddad, good King Hezekiah. Maybe the Holy Spirit directly stirred his heart. I don't know. But what I do know is it was because of God's grace. Because of, he didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve this at all. But God softened his heart. And it tells me, it tells us, that God's grace can speak into any heart and in any circumstance. And it tells me, as it does with Josiah, that our response to God's grace in our lives can lead to great things in his name. Don't underestimate what God's grace and power can do in our lives when circumstances look too big for us. And I was thinking also, just on this point, how important it is for us adults, parents, adults, teachers, that our children, our young people, hear about God's word, hear about Jesus. And I thank God today again for our Sunday school, our teachers, and morning and 4 o'clock, for teaching our children about Jesus, that maybe our children and young people will have soft hearts for him. Second point, Josiah's soft heart led him to the word of God and it transformed him. His heart for God, his commitment to walk in God's ways with all his heart, led him eventually, after 18 years, to finding God's word. And through the book, through the book of the law, and through the prophet, he listened to God's word and he obeyed God's word. And God's word transformed him and it changed his country. You know, let's be thankful for God's word every day. I thank God that I can sit in my armchair every morning reading God's word. I thank God that I can come here every Sunday and hear God's word read and hear God's word proclaimed and explained. Don't you? We're not often as thankful for God's word as we should be. Because it can be so easy to let our hearts harden to the crucial need of God's word in our lives and the transformation that it can bring. If you're anything like me, you can get lazy towards God's word. You can start to treat it a bit superficially. But for Josiah, he'd found the ultimate treasure in God's word. The Almighty and living God was speaking directly to him. And he acted obediently and responded. And it changed things. Do you know, if you haven't made time to read your Bible recently, or if it's become stale and you're approaching it in a superficial way, please, can I ask you today to ask God's Spirit to soften your heart to this essential aspect of our discipleship as we walk with the Lord? Ask him tonight to help you to rediscover his word, God's word, every day. Thirdly, Josiah recognized the problems causing the sin and removed it. As we've seen, Josiah was deeply humbled by God's word. And in that humility, he recognized the sin that had put him in that place and the people in the dire circumstances that they were. And you might say, well, it's pretty obvious, Dave. There are idols everywhere, even in the temple. But he did something about it. He acted. He removed the causes and the practices of the sin. He removed it and he destroyed everything and anything that was not worshipful of God, the living God, the true God. Anything that was not of God or for God or celebrative of God. He got rid of it. When God's word humbles us, when it breaks us, when it brings us to despair in our sin and the things that we've done wrong, and we turn away and turn to Jesus in a commitment of repentance, it's really hard then to go on to the next bit, isn't it? And to change the attitude or to remove the actual thing that is causing us to sin. This side of the cross, because of the Lord Jesus' death on the cross, we know, if we believe and trust in Jesus, we know that we're forgiven. Everything we've done and everything we will do. And I think sometimes that is so wonderful, but sometimes it makes it harder for us to say, I must remove that thing that is causing me to sin time after time. Is there something in your life that you know is causing you to repeat the same sin? Josiah's example is right in your face. We have to remove the cause. Fourthly, Josiah was wholehearted for the Lord. I mean, this comes through all the points and right through the passage, doesn't it? Despite what was going on around him, even though he could do nothing about the destruction that was to come. He could have thought, well, I won't bother with the reforms now. But in fact, he just put the pedal down full right to the floor. And he knew it was going to be futile in the long term for his country, but he kept going. I mean, Hulda the prophet had said to him, you've got a humble heart, Josiah. He could have thought, well, I'll just rest on my laurels. I'll hide myself in my throne room and not worry about it. But he knew that however far the people of God had drifted from God, however inevitable the judgment that was coming was, he knew God hadn't changed. He knew God was still due the worship and honour. And so Josiah committed to give and to lead them, the people, in that worship. And I think sometimes for us, you know, things seem too big and, you know, we feel our circumstances are overwhelming. Too much work, too much homework, feeling too tired, too stressed, too something, too anything. Such as we might say, well, you know, my heart's good with God at the moment, so I won't go to church today. I won't do my quiet time for a few days. I'll have a bit of a lay-in. I won't do that. I'll put this off. But God wants us to come to him however we're feeling, however, whatever the circumstances, and to fulfill our purpose to worship him. Worship him in all aspects of our lives. One, because he's God and he deserves it. And secondly, he wants us to come in worship in response to the love and the mercy and the grace that he has shown us in the Lord Jesus. The grace that he showers on us every single day as he blesses us, as he transforms us through all circumstances. And then fifth, standing out for God can sometimes be a lonely place, as it was for Josiah. And we have to be bold. We have to take the power of the Spirit and the trust in Jesus as we do this. As we read Kings and as we read Chronicles, it's unclear really how committed the people were to all of this. We know Josiah was full on for it. But the others who read the book of the law, well, their reactions seem quite muted. The people seem to follow Josiah more out of respect for him rather than their hearts being soft for God. If you look, they change again after Josiah's gone. Even the prophets seem quite low-key in their support. But Josiah was not deterred. And he stood out as a beacon for God. And beacons are in lonely, isolated, desolate places, aren't they? Generally. Josiah led God's people. He led God's kingdom, putting God in his rightful place of priority and worship. Even though it was hard and lonely for him. And we might think, well, he was king, but, you know, it must have been really hard and lonely, pulling everyone else through. I sometimes think of our leaders, like David, for instance, sometimes, you know, when you think no one's doing anything and you're out on your own. Pray for David, our leader, as he leads us in to have soft hearts. If we've committed to Jesus, we're, I guess, the 21st century version of God's kingdom. God's rule is in our heart. And you know, you look around, there are idols everywhere. Pride, greed, selfishness abounds everywhere. People just want to rule their own lives. People are rebellion against God. And people we know and love, people I know and love, in rebellion of God. And destruction is inevitable if they don't turn to the Lord. And so he calls us his people, his holy nation, to live wholeheartedly for him. Putting him first, showing others that we put him first, and it's often a lonely place. It was for me this week when I said to my boss at work, I have to take Friday off because I'm preaching Sunday night And I need that time to write and prepare for the sermon. Even though the pressure of work, the expectations of people were shouting at me and pressing in on me to do something else. But everything is put in perspective. Everything is possible when we put Jesus first. We can't soften others' hearts. We can't make people follow God. But we can point people to him. We can point people to Jesus by showing our hearts are soft for him, by showing our hearts are fully for him. And that's our last point. That's something else that Josiah does. He points us to Jesus. As we look at Josiah, the best king, we see the promise, we see the sign of the better king, the greater king, the greatest king, the king of kings, King Jesus. The one who walked in the way of his father without straying to the left or the right. The one who was wholehearted, obediently walking for God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind and with all his strength. Who went obediently to the cross for you, for me. Who died the unblemished, perfect sacrifice on the cross for us. So that our weeping and our distress might be taken away once for all. God's word says that King Jesus will return to judge the world as he judged Judah. That is inevitable as well. But when Jesus comes to judge, he will look for those with soft hearts for him. He will look for those who believed in him. And he will fulfill the covenant promise that is written on our hearts, the hope of an eternal future in the presence of the perfect King of Kings. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses told the people to live the way of the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. The Bible tells us that King Josiah led his people with all his heart, with all his strength, with all his soul. When the religious leaders came to Jesus in Mark 12 and they said, "What's the greatest commandment?" He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength." Sometimes what's going on around us, the pressure of people, the enticement of idols, our own personal problems and challenges, the fact that sometimes we feel as though we're standing for Jesus on our own, well, it can all risk hardening our hearts. It can all risk us pulling us away from the Lord. But there is an answer. Brothers and sisters, keep your heart soft. Be led and transformed by God's written word. Keep your eyes fixed on the living word, King Jesus. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Amen.